In preparing for the River West 24, I've been hopping on a lot of local bike paths. Whether it's the Oak Leaf or the Inner Urban Trail, there are plenty of opportunities for long, paved rides. But imagine a loop of trails spanning across 400 miles of the state. We'll hear about an effort to create just that later in today's Behind the Headlines. Welcome back to our show, and thanks for your patience in the past few weeks. I'm Katie O'Connell, and as a music editor, I've been a bit busy lately with Summerfest, but it's good to be back. We're diving into politics first during today's show. The Republican National Convention looks a bit like a cheesehead convention. Reporter Mary Spicuzza and Watchdog columnist Daniel Bice discussed how five Wisconsinites are set to speak in Cleveland during this week's JOS on Politics show.
Let's talk a little bit more about the rest of the convention starting next week. It's going to have a Wisconsin flavor. Paul Ryan's the chair, and then Ryan Priebus, of course, is the chair of the party.
And they announced the speakers today. There are five speakers from Wisconsin. So it's sort of a cheesehead convention. As you said, Ryan will be speaking. Ryan Priebus, obviously, is going to be speaking. Governor Walker is speaking. Sheriff David Clark is speaking, and Sean Duffy. So, and you know, it's an interesting mix of people who've been supportive and not quite so supportive of Donald Trump. Probably the most supportive in that group is Sheriff Clark, who says he's all in, and probably the only person I've heard who supported Sheriff Clark in his remarks about the so-called Mexican federal judge.
And he's not even technically a Republican, so there's that.
Probably the only Democrat speaking at the convention. And then you have, you know, Paul Ryan, who's endorsed him but has been very critical of Donald Trump. Scott Walker, who's taken his time endorsing him.
And has been very, I mean, it's basically like he's better than she is.
How do they, though, when they're going to have to get up there at this convention, and the whole purpose of it to get on TV is to bolster your candidate, Donald Trump.
I think it's less bolstering your candidate than attacking your foe, because that's been the approach that you've seen with Scott Walker. It's very much, it's not, you know, that we love Donald Trump, it's we need to stop Hillary Clinton. That's been the message. It is true, Sean Duffy, who's going to be speaking, has said that he has the template for the conservative movement and did endorse him in May. So I expect him to be more on board and to give a stronger pro-Trump message. But I think Scott Walker's message will be very much that we need to stop Hillary from being elected.
And both Representative Duffy and Donald Clark are very familiar with TV. They're very familiar with being on TV, both former reality TV stars. I think Duffy will probably give a pretty animated speech. And he's also talked about how he feels like Republicans are too much of downers, too flat, too, you know, let me show you this spreadsheet about the debt, and talked about how they need to engage voters.
I mean, there has been Scott Walker's message that we need to have an affirmative message, but he's not been very affirmative on Donald Trump. It's been very negative message. I mean, he even criticized Ron Johnson for not having a strong message. So,
yeah, well, let me ask both of you on this. So give me your best case and worst case scenario for the convention in terms of the party, in terms of what can they get out of it? You know, best case is what?
That you get a bump. Like Bill Clinton got a big bump out of his convention, a huge bump. But in fact, most candidates don't get a bump. The worst case scenario is that people don't dial in, that fewer people watch this than watch the All-Star game the other day, and that it has little impact.
Or there's like a coup attempt and they try to nominate chaos.
I mean, you don't want to get in.
Best case, worst case. I mean, Ryan Priebus needs a smooth convention, right?
He does need a smooth convention. I mean, whether or not he runs to do this again, which is probably going to be a not, but who knows. But I think that he is really trying to crack down on the delegates and make them fall in line and avoid this unbinding thing and, you know, blowing up on national TV.
But smooth can be boring. And boring means little, you know, that there's little impact. I mean, you would hope that there's some sort of news or something there besides Donald Trump.
To find out more about This Week in Politics, download our full JS on Politics podcast. That's available on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Yeah, A new project by the Rails to Trails Conservancy wants to link bike paths in 7 counties in southern Wisconsin. The project is called the Route of the Badger. Wisconsin Trails editor Chelsea Lewis sat down with Michael Meidenbauer for more.
I'm here with Chelsea Lewis, our travel writer for WisconsinTrails.com. Thanks for being on, Chelsea.
Thanks for having me.
And you are here to talk about the Route of the Badger.
The Route of the Badger,
The
yes.
Route of the Badger. What is the Route of the Badger?
So the Route of the Badger is hopefully going to be a world-class 400-mile trail system in southeastern Wisconsin. So a lot of people hear Route of the Badger and they assume that's just going to be like one giant trail. But what it is supposed to be, the Rails to Trails Conservancy kind of looked at southeastern Wisconsin and saw that there are all these different trails in the area that already exist, but there's some gaps between them, so they're not necessarily connected. And the Conservancy said, hey, you know, maybe we can work to connect these trails and have this really awesome trail system in the area. So that's kind of what they're doing right now. You know, you've got trails like the Oak Leaf, the Hank Aaron, the Glacial Drumlin, that go all different directions in the 7 county area in Milwaukee. And right now they're looking at where some gaps might be and how they can build some more trails to connect those.
Can you tell me a little bit about Rails to Trails? That sounds kind of fascinating, like it's old rail beds converted into bike trails.
Yeah, exactly. Wisconsin was actually the first state in the country to convert an old railroad line into a bike trail. And that was in 1965 in the Elroy Sparta Trail, which is still kind of the granddaddy of rail trails. It's the super cool trail up in Elroy Sparta, so like I think Monroe County up in that area. There's actually 3 old railroad tunnels you get to take your bike through, so that's a really cool rail trail. But since then, the state has added some 1,800 miles of rail trails. So that was the Rail to Trail Conservancy's initial mission, was to convert these old abandoned railroad lines into bike trails. And they're really great for biking because railroads didn't really like or still don't like steep hills or curves. So these trails tend to be pretty flat, pretty straight, really great for families or just long rides if you want to take a nice long ride.
Right.
So yeah, we have a few in southeastern Wisconsin. The Glacial Drumlin is probably the longest in the area. But now the Rails to Trails Conservancy, they don't just focus on old rail beds. They're kind of looking at any opportunities. Another big opportunity are power company right-of-ways. Wherever you have big power lines, they have to kind of clear out land and make sure it's kind of flat. So there's opportunities
for trails. I've seen one of those in New Berlin.
Yep, exactly. Yep. The New Berlin Trail is an example of one of those. So there's an opportunity in, I think, Jefferson right now where they're looking at a power company right-of-way where they might link some trails out there. And then there's also an opportunity down in the Burlington Racine area where they might convert an old railroad line and link up the White River State Trail with another trail down there. So all kinds of opportunities, really exciting if you're into biking.
Right. So where are the potential linkages between these various trail systems?
Yeah, so those two are kind of that I just mentioned are on the horizon right now. The guy I talked to at the Rails to Trails Conservancy, who's spearheading this project, he said right now, he's only been on the job about 6 months, he said right now he's just kind of looking to see where the big gaps are, meeting with local organizations like the Bike Fed, like the DNR, local county and city park officials, to kind of see where the needs are. One really great route that kind of already exists that's one of my favorites is if you can start in downtown Milwaukee, hop on the Oak Leaf Trail, bike north. They just added like a 6.5-mile extension in the fall, so you can actually then connect with the Ozaukee in your inner urban trail, go another like 30-some miles north. So you have this like huge, I don't know, maybe 60-mile or more pathway all the way up to Sheboygan, which is really awesome.
Yeah, for sure. I was just going to ask you about that because you mentioned in your article here that from the Lower East Side, you can jump onto trails and a couple different trails will link them together. So
yeah.
If I'm a cyclist in the area, what are the trail combinations that I might not know about
yes.
that I would like?
So that's a really great one, the Oak Leaf to the inner urban. Another one is you can hop on the Hank Aaron. Unfortunately, right now, because of the zoo interchange project, you have a slight detour onto Greenfield, like right around where that project is. But then from there, you can get on the New Berlin Trail, and then the New Berlin Trail connects you to the Glacial Drumlin, and that goes all the way to Cottage Grove. So you could potentially start in Milwaukee with a little bit of an on-road detour and bike all the way almost to Madison, which is really awesome.
Wow, that's a little above me, but I'm sure people who are into it can take care of that.
Yeah, I had a friend who a couple of weeks ago did a bike camping trip, went all the way to Madison, and came all the way back over the course of a weekend.
Wow, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
All right, well, if you want to check out this story and read about the trails and kind of what to explore in the area, you can check that story out. That's going to be in Sunday's Journal Sentinel and on wisconsintrails.com. Thanks for coming in, Chelsea.
Thank you.
To find out more about the Route of the Badger project, pick up today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel or visit wisconsintrails.com. In this week's business segment, editor Joe Tashler talks about his story on Wauwatosa's Metcalf Century Supermarket. It's a family-owned business competing successfully with Walmart and other supermarket chains. How is it doing that? Reporter Tom Dakin found out.
Hi, welcome to this week's Journal Sentinel broadcast, podcast, I should say. This is Tom Dakin, business reporter, and I am hosting this week. God knows why. I have no qualifications to do this whatsoever, but I've got a great guest, Joe Tashler. Howard Stern couldn't make it, but we got Joe to come in to tell us about his story about the Metcalf Supermarket in Wauwatosa.
Tom, thanks for having me on the show here. It's a pleasure to be here. Worked on a little story about Metcalf's, the fourth-generation family-owned business, kind of just carving out its own niche and trying to really take advantage of, or not really take advantage of, but be a part of the growing trend of people wanting healthy food and sunscreen and lip balm and all kinds of healthy things.
Why? Why do people want these healthy things?
This is a trend in the consumer business. Everybody wants to be healthy. They want to know where their food comes from. And increasingly, they want to know where everything else that they get
comes from. You said earlier they want to know where their lip balm comes from
and what's in it. And
yes.
Metcalf's has embraced this and really built a strategy around this where you can go to the grocery store and get, kale or rhubarb and then an organic this and
do they have kale and rhubarb flavored lip balm?
I'm not exactly sure on the precise product mix, but there are a number of things, and they've embraced natural products for babies and natural supplements and that sort of thing.
And this is how they're outdoing Walmart and Meijer and Target and all these other giant food retailers that keep throwing up stores that are much, much larger than what Metcalf has, right? Yeah. And they have not the buying power, obviously, that a small operation like Metcalf has.
Well, they say all politics is local, so is all grocery shopping. And what they're doing is taking advantage of, again, but what they're doing is trying to embrace some of the changes that have occurred there in the village in Wauwatosa, where a lot of old, gritty warehouses have been torn down and converted into apartments or condos. There's an influx of younger people coming into that area, and as everybody knows, the dreaded M word, the millennial generation, everybody wants that generation. They want to know where their food comes from. They want to know where their beer comes from, or their cider, or their cheese, or...
You do not want to get behind these people in line at the deli counter.
No. There's
too many questions.
Too many questions. Too many issues.
Yes.
Now, keep in mind, though.
But millennials, we love you. Subscribe to the Journal Sentinel.
And keep in mind, too, that at Metcalf's, you can still get your staples, your bratwurst that you have for breakfast and you know, you're not to mention any brands here, but your Miller High Life.
Do you have that for breakfast as well?
Yeah. Only on the weekends.
All on weekends. Good man. Good man.
And so they really have transformed what they're doing there, and it really does reflect what's going on both here and nationally in the consumer retail food marketplace.
And Metcalf, the Metcalf family just has the one store in Wauwatosa and two in the Madison area,
right.
Correct?
Three okay. stores, fourth generation family ownership, very, very local. And their philosophy is we can roll out a new product in three stores. We're not so huge that we have to have the infrastructure to roll out something new in 200 stores. We can turn on a dime, and if a customer wants it, we can have it in there, if not the same day, within days.
And okay, cool. That's it. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Tom.
Yep.
Joe's story can also be found in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. If you don't get a chance to pick up a copy, you can find the story online at jsonline.com/business. That does it for today's show. Thanks so much for listening. Tune in next week for a special report from investigative reporter Mark Johnson. Mark brings us the latest from his trip to a refugee camp in Jordan. Take care until then.